City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to a Bismarck edition of City Current. It's Wednesday, February 12th. We're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access. I'm here with Jason Timonic from the City of Bismarck.
Hi, Mary.
Nice to see you.
Pleasure to be here.
On this cold morning, we just had a cold snap hit us.
It's chilly.
Yeah.
It is February, though.
That's true. It is February 12th.
Yes.
We're in the studios at Dakota Media Access. Absolutely. And we're here to talk about the City Commission meeting last night.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very quick meeting.
I think it was less than 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's. I'm not sure. Is it a record, do you think?
No, we've had shorter ones.
Okay.
But it's... Lately, it's been out of the routine to have a short meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah. But we still have a lot of stuff to talk about.
We do.
We'll just jump right into it. There were a number of items on the consent agenda, none of which were pulled for discussion. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to talk about a couple of them. And most of these items were a call for a public hearing.
Right.
So we want to talk about them because at the next commission meeting, there will be a public hearing on these items.
Right.
So just to spread some light on this.
And final action by the City Commission is also part of the public hearing.
Sure.
So, and it's typical in this process to have two meetings for a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm.
The first meeting is just to do that, introduce the topic.
Yeah.
And call for a public hearing, and then we'll hold a public hearing in 2 weeks.
And I will say, too, that if people are paying attention and really want to know more, your agendas and your agenda packets are really thorough. I mean, hundreds of pages in there, and I know most people aren't going to go through that, but, you know, just skimming the agenda, you can jump right to the supporting documents.
Right.
So if you want more information, it's always there.
No,
not every group does this that we work with as far as government meetings.
I appreciate that, and I certainly... we strive for transparency. And for anybody that hasn't seen one of our agendas online, you're right. There is a whole host of information for every item that goes through the agenda, every item the commission takes action on. There's hyperlinks with more information. There's
mm-hmm.
maps. There's images. There's always a cover memo, essentially,
right.
the short version of really what's going on and what the recommendation is to the commission. So
mm-hmm.
we strive to compile all that information for the commissioner's sake, but also for the public's sake. There's a lot that happens at City Commission, and we understand it's not everybody's highest priority to find these things, but for those that are interested in it, there is a lot of information there.
Well,
everything's on our website, bismarcknd.gov. There's an agenda center, so all the committees, mm-hmm. all the boards, all the commissions, all their agendas are there.
And as part of your practice, we receive, as does other media in the area or anyone who requests it, really, I think, an agenda packet,
mm-hmm.
a link to your email, sent to your email with all the links to the supporting documents and the agendas.
Right.
So that's really helpful, and obviously that's how we're very familiar with that.
Yes, and that's a service that you can subscribe to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a subscription rate or anything like that. You just self-volunteer, basically put your contact information
sure.
in there, and that will come to you. If anybody has questions on how to do that, they can always call our office too, 355-1300. We've got a dynamic staff that'd be more than happy to help people find that information on the website if they can't get there on their own.
And those agendas and the supporting documents, the packet,
mm-hmm.
if you will, are published the Friday, at least by Friday prior to the Tuesday
meeting.
Typically,
yeah, we've got our meetings Tuesdays. We like to have the agendas out by before end of business on Wednesday. So we try and shoot for at least 6 days. Now, if we have a Monday holiday, which sometimes happens this part of the year, we end up with President's Day and Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we'll shove the agenda back one extra day because it takes our staff a little more time to prepare that. But typically, yeah, they'll be out a minimum of 5 or 6 days before a meeting. So there's plenty
mm-hmm.
of time for the commissioners to dig into it,
mm-hmm.
ask questions, call staff. But also for the public, if they're interested, it's there for the taking.
Mm-hmm. And as long as I'm giving you some kudos, I'll just say, too, that staff at the commission meeting and your planning commission meeting use the maps and the
mm-hmm.
the document cameras quite a bit. And that's so helpful.
It is.
For a viewer to watch and be able to track what the discussion is mm-hmm. about. And we'll have some of those maps today.
Absolutely.
When we talk a little bit about regular agenda items, I think, primarily. But couple of items on the consent agenda we want to start with. Again, call for public hearing. Three liquor licenses will be heard in 2 weeks at the next commission meeting. Kind of interesting. First of all, a Class D license, which is kind of the granddaddy of all liquor licenses in Bismarck, meaning you can beer, wine, liquor on and off sale.
Right.
It's a very valuable license as well, is now proposed for Cashwise South.
Right. And we've talked about these in the past for anybody that's been following along. But the Class D license, there's a limited number of those. And right now we're at 25 in the city. The city issues the Class D license one time, and it's sold to a private business. And after that, if that business chooses to, they can resell it to someone else. And
that's Which is what happened.
That's exactly what we've got here. So Cashwise South, of course, they closed the liquor store, transferred the license to the new store on the north side of town. There wasn't a new license for them to purchase. One did become available, but Cashwise didn't have the high bid on that, so a different organization bought that license. That'll be in use someplace else. The license that they are procuring today is from an existing hotel that had a bar, a lounge. We've talked about them at a couple meetings ago, the Expressway Suites. They've changed their license from the Class D, which is the full-blown beer, wine, and liquor, to the hotel-motel license. Essentially what that did, though, is it freed up this Class D license that Cashwise has now procured. They have to go through the same process to...
They were able to purchase it from them, but it still has to go through the review process and approval process for the city.
Right, because we are, we as the city administration department, the attorney's office, and the police department all review that application. We're looking at the managers, the owners, making sure that they have a clean record. There are some guidelines or regulations in the ordinance that talk about good moral character and some of these things if you're purveying alcohol. So that's what the PD will be looking for. Our office looks at the site layout, making sure that it's got all the appropriate features that the ordinance requires. And we go to the public hearing, which will be in 2 weeks, assuming there's a favorable outcome at the commission meeting. Cashwise South could be back in action within
a
matter of weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. Weeks or days, depending on their inventory and whatever it is that they need to do to the store. But the process itself should be complete by Tuesday, the 25th of February.
Okay. Public hearing on that one. An I-2 liquor license will also be heard in 2 weeks, and that's for the Eat Thai Cafe down in the south area of Bismarck.
Right.
Riverwood Drive.
Just before you get to the golf course, there's that kind of little S-curve down in there. That's the Eat Thai restaurant. She was, for a long time, a takeout-only location on Main Avenue. This is a permanent location. The I-2 license is unique in that it's designed for smaller restaurants, restaurants with a smaller seating capacity. So the percentage of food versus alcohol sales is skewed more towards the food. In other words, it's not intended to be a bar license. It's intended to be a restaurant that provides beer and wine for its guests.
All right. And then lastly, there's an F1 liquor license for Craftcade downtown. They already have a beer license, correct?
Beer and wine.
Beer and wine
They have
there.
The F2 license, I believe, which allows beer and wine. With that, when we worked with the owners of the Craftcade before things got open, and of course, there's a split. You have to sell more food than alcohol, and they weren't exactly sure what that was going to look like, given the nature
new
of their
operation,
business. New operation, new business, lots of different things up in the air. The understanding that I got from the owners is that they are doing really well with their food sales and are confident that bringing on alcohol or liquor into that offering for their guests won't skew their sales in any way, shape, or form that would put them in a compromising situation with their license. So their license provides 55% of their sales need to be food, and up to 45% can be alcohol.
Okay.
So in this case now, when this goes through, assuming it is approved, they will offer spirits on their menu in addition to the existing beer and wine that they already have for guests.
A lot of action in the liquor department here.
Yes.
In 2 weeks, public hearing on
that. It's almost every agenda we end up talking about liquor licenses.
It does. Also a public hearing in 2 weeks. This is totally different. We're talking about land use, and we're talking about an amendment to the future land use plan. This is up in the Tyler Cooley area.
Right.
We've already seen this go through Bismarck Planning.
Planning and zoning.
Planning and zoning.
They held their public hearing, I believe, last month and had some comments from the neighbors, some testimony. There's some concerns on the future extension of Tyler Parkway, and there's also some concerns from the neighborhood on the conservation land use designation. Mm-hmm. And on the monitors that we have in front of us for anybody that's watching, the what you're looking at is the existing future land use plan. And I think it's worth mentioning that when future land use planning is done, we're really looking at a 30,000 foot level. These are broad strokes on a map with generalities that are known. Mm-hmm. And really what I'm talking about here is the topography, the lay of the land, natural drainage features, things like that are all taken into context. What's changing now is there is a much closer detailed look at the land and what the land could support in the regard to water and sewer, roads and streets, buildable mm-hmm. lots and things like that. So this is a typical part of the process to go from that 30,000 foot level down to a much more micro level.
Mm-hmm.
When we have that ability to know that detail, changes are proposed to the land use plan, and that's what we're looking at here. So with this new map, you can see there's a green line that kind of meanders through the property, and then there's a light yellow area. The light yellow area is that area that has now been more closely identified and defined for residential development. So what's really happening here is the conservation area that was defined in the broad stroke is being narrowed in scope just a little bit to support what is going on as far as what the developer is proposing for single and two family homes mm-hmm. in this area.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking primarily also a zoning change.
Right.
Low density housing is a residential is mm-hmm. is really the target here.
Yep.
So that seems to be a fairly good fit for the adjacent land around it. You mentioned at the Planning and Zoning Commission that there was some objection, some mm-hmm. concerns expressed. And again, you go back to this land use plan, I think maybe one of the reasons that it's surprising to adjacent property owners is the terms that are used.
Sure.
When you have when they're labeled open spaces or mm-hmm. conservation, there's an assumption that that's the way it will be.
Right.
And that means that it won't be developed. Mm-hmm. But again, when it's privately held and privately owned, there's not a guarantee of that. Even right. if it was public land, I don't think there's any long-term guarantee that right. remains that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to use the word deceptive, but I can see where people make an assumption.
Certainly.
When it says conservation or open spaces mm-hmm. that you know, you might be thinking that's always going to be that way.
Right. And yeah. and nothing's final until it is done. And in this case,
sure.
the land changed ownership from the time the land use plan was done until today. So mm-hmm. we've got a different developer that came in with potentially different ideas and okay. maybe different abilities. But we also appreciate the neighbors have concerns. And,
yeah.
and that's why we have public hearings and public comment periods so people can express their concerns to the folks that have to make these decisions mm-hmm. going forward. All of that should be balanced with the data and information that staff provides as well. So then we have a fair and balanced discussion about what makes the most sense and what do the neighbors mm-hmm. have concerns with, and all of that gets rolled up into a final decision that we'll talk about in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Can we look at the map one more time about the what the proposed change was? Will you walk us through that a little bit, Jason?
Sure. So this is the proposed change. So really what you're looking at here, the light green area would be the resulting conservation portion.
The shaded green area.
The shaded green area.
Okay.
So it kind of follows there's a dark line that really outlines the entire area that is under consideration here. But the light green area would be those portions that would remain essentially untouched, very natural. There's likely drainage through here. There's some steep draws and a lot of natural topography. Those areas would resemble very much of what you see today in those developed areas. Mm-hmm. Valley Drive is a great example of how you can integrate green space and the built environment and still be environmentally responsible with erosion control and stormwater drainage and things like that. But then also recognizing that some of these areas are available for development, mm-hmm. meaning they have generally favorable topography, soil conditions are stable, and there's not a lot of erosion to speak of and things like that. So those are the areas that the developers with their consulting engineers are focusing their attention on to maximize their return on the investment.
Mm-hmm. And Tyler Parkway has always been, has I should say, 20 years, long-term, yeah. It's been planned to make that connection. And that's something that will follow this development. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
So we've got Tyler Parkway, where it ends today, is right near the intersection with Valley Drive. And the extension of Tyler Parkway to the north has been halted for quite some time, primarily because of the topography in this area. Where we've stopped right now, there will be a significant water crossing over the Tyler Coulee, natural drainage area.
Okay.
We don't know what that looks like. We know about where it will be, but we don't have that level of detail. That plan is down the road. We don't know when it will be. Oftentimes, those are development-driven. But if you follow Tyler Parkway all the way to the north, it extends even north of 1804. The difference is, though, in the county, it has a number instead of a name for the street. Mm. When it's in the county, it's actually called 15th Street.
Okay.
So for anybody that's been up on Highway 1804 west of Washington Street, if you're familiar with the location of waste management, that's 15th Street and 1804. That's the intersection.
Okay.
That is the same alignment as Tyler Parkway followed in this 20-year long-range transportation
That'll be a
plan.
Big connection.
It'll
collector.
Be another significant north-south corridor to get people, you know, through the community. Ultimately, it will run from the intersection of Burnt Boat Drive on the south all the way up north to, well, essentially 110th Avenue out in the county. So we don't have a timeline on when Tyler Parkway will be built from end to end, but we do have plans identifying its desired location.
This gets it closer.
It gets it closer, and it's one more piece as we continue. What you'll see is Tyler Parkway will extend from the north down towards that crossing where we've stopped today on the south. And at some point in the future, we're going to have to do a significant project there to get across the water, whether it's a bridge or a culvert. I don't know. We don't have those designs done.
Okay. All right. So 2 weeks again, another public hearing on this item.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. Also on the consent agenda, but this move forward, no public hearing, a fire station remodel. The Tyler, we're in the same neighborhood.
We're in Tyler, Tyler neighborhood.
Tyler Parkway fire station up there. It's been there quite a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, I want to say it's over 20 years that it's been there. It followed the development in that area. We call it Station 3, which sequentially was the third station built. It's a little undersized for some of the equipment that we have today. The overhead doors are a little too low, and the storage bays within the building are a little too shallow. So they're going to be remodeling that building. What we're doing right now, what the action was to approve a contract to work with an architectural firm to take a look at the building and design an appropriate renovation and remodel to make room for, like I said, larger trucks and equipment, but also right now, the firefighters that are stationed at that station, their workout area is shared in the bays with the vehicles. It's not ideal, but we certainly want the firefighters to have an opportunity to exercise and stay fit. We would just like to get them into a spot that's not for storage of trucks and equipment and things like that, too.
That makes sense.
So it's all part of a bigger project, but if you live up in that area or if you drive by that fire station, at some point you will see some minor changes going forward.
Will this item come back to the commission at all?
I suspect it will because we'll have to do bids, and you know, after the architects have done their work, they'll have a design and it'll have to go out for bid, and then we'll see those drawings and all of that. So yeah, it's quite likely we would talk about this again before the end of the year.
Okay, sounds good. Moving on to the regular agenda, one item that has been repeated on the agenda for a while, and that's the building code, building and fire code adoption, and it went through a lot of steps.
It did.
In the background, but last night it did get approved. Right.
City staff, both in the fire department and in the community development department on the building inspection side, spent a lot of time working with local contractors, the Bismarck-Mandan Home Builders Association, other communities looking at what they're doing with state code adoption versus local code adoption and some of those things. This one hit pause a little bit in the middle to allow for more of those discussions to bear fruit. As we saw last night, we had one representative from the Home Builders Association take the podium and said thank you for the opportunity. We always appreciate that. It's nice to know that the process left both sides feeling comfortable with what was on the table.
Well, and I think it was Brady Blazkowski, your building inspector, got up and talked about all the different groups that were involved.
Right.
And he also included City of Mandan, Morton County,
Burley County,
everybody around, so that everybody comes together, and these building fire codes are pretty consistent.
Right.
There might be one or two minor issues that are going to be different between the area within the area, but pretty consistent all the way around. So good collaboration. Mm-hmm. And this happens every few years that these international codes are updated. So this maybe we'll talk about it someday again.
It could be,
if we're still here.
For now, things have been approved and we'll move forward this way.
Yep.
So we're glad that everybody was content with the resolution at the end.
Yeah. It's very difficult to get everybody to be content about any particular.
It can be,
Another big project coming up this summer, move forward on a big step last night, and that was the 43rd Avenue reconstruction bids.
Yep.
There was an acceptance of a bid from Northern Improvement, as I understand.
They're the parent low bidder. I think there were two contractors that bid the project. And really, what we're talking about here again is the improvement of 43rd Avenue from Washington Street on the west to State Street on the east, and little extensions beyond State Street as they tie in with the existing roadway that's over there. But this is a very heavily traveled corridor. There's a lot of commercial activity that's appearing in this area. Of course, we've got the new Cashwise. There's a couple other retail centers that are out there, and there was some existing retail in the area, of course, as well. So we've talked about this one before. We've talked about what it will look like when it's over and done. We'll be looking at a four-lane section with some turn lanes and some traffic signals at key intersections. But ultimately, when we talk about a road going to an urban section, what that means for us, that means curb and gutter, sidewalks, traffic signals, street lights, pedestrian facilities, all sorts of things will be built into this. So it will look more like a city street and less like a rural road with a ditch and drainage and culverts and things like that.
Yeah, so this is a big project. So I think our message today is get ready.
It's coming.
We got a big construction
project. I think it's worth mentioning that this is the first project that will be paid for using the new half-cent city sales tax that was approved by voters last year.
Mm-hmm. Did you say this is about a mile long?
Generally, Washington Street to State Street is a mile. So we'll be looking at, you know, just a little over a mile when you add in all the ends and extremities. I think it's also worth noting that to do a mile of city street, we're talking about $10 million.
Jeez.
That's pretty close to the bid amount. So these things come at a significant cost. There's a reason these projects don't happen every day.
Right.
We don't have this money lying around. But this is a good example of why that half-cent sales tax request was made of the public, was to pay for improvements like this that might not otherwise get done in a timely fashion. So anybody that's been on this corridor, I think they can appreciate the volume of traffic, some of the turning movements and things that you have to take. They're not ideal.
No.
By the end of construction season in 2020, things are going to look a lot different and be much safer, and traffic in and out of these different retail centers and businesses will be more efficient.
So in the meantime, this summer we're gonna see some restrictions and lane restrictions
I'm sure.
and whatnot.
Yeah, the construction will start not long after the frost is out of the ground. You might see some staging and some of that other things starting to happen once the snow melts. But
it's a busy, busy street.
We'll sure provide updates and photos along the way, because I think there's a lot of people that are watching this one.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
The last item that we have to talk about is up in that same neighborhood. We're spending all of our time up in this neighborhood.
A lot happening in North Bismarck.
So this is called Northern Sky, and it's a little, I'm watching and listening to the item last night. It was, I was a little confused, which is not unusual, but I didn't quite follow what was happening here. It seemed like almost kind of like, let's put the cart in front of the horse, because it's this land we're talking about, the corner of Ash Cooley and Washington Street.
Right, northwest quadrant of the intersection. So for landmark purposes, city's got a water tower in that area. There's a recycling, grass clipping recycling and things like that at the water tower site. Business-wise, the Horizon Market is just north of here. So the request from the owner who owns the Horizon Market and a good chunk of the vacant land that's there today is to construct Northern Sky Drive, which is a short roadway that would connect Durango Drive on the north and Ash Cooley Drive on the south. And for folks that don't have business in this neighborhood or don't live in this neighborhood, they might say, well, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that in some situations, we've learned that Horizon Middle School has become the connecting point between Ash Cooley and Durango. Not ideal, certainly. From the school's perspective, those roads aren't built for that type of traffic. Obviously, when you've got kids and activities, there's a lot of things that are happening at the middle school. The developer has indicated his desire to build the roadway, Northern Sky Drive, to connect Durango and Ashcooley for two reasons. Number one, to help offset some of that traffic that's found its alternative route, but more so to clearly define the vacant land that is there. Obviously, this is a parcel that will have development on it at some point in the future. My understanding is that corner of the intersection is primarily zoned for neighborhood commercial, so you'd see some retail-type activities or business uses that are there. But when you put that roadway in place, it maybe helps define a little bit more of what that lot could look like when it's all said and done. There will have to be some earthwork and some grading that's done. It was also noted at the meeting last night that this area of Ashcooley, just west of Washington Street, has a tendency to gather a lot of snow, particularly days like today when we've got a lot of wind and fresh snow. There's some drifting that happens, and it causes some extra work for Public Works to get up there and clear the snow more frequently. When Northern Sky gets built, some of that vacant land to the east of it and essentially north of Ashcooley would be regraded, maybe take down some of the topography that's causing the drifting in that area, and it hopefully would help with some of that snow fighting effort as well. Obviously, it's going to still blow. There's not a lot of trees and vegetation to knock the snow down, but if that helps keep the plows from coming back a couple, three times a day, that would be a nice thing for us too.
So do you anticipate that this Northern Sky Drive will be constructed this summer already?
I would think so. I think the developer's intent is to move forward fairly quickly, and I think it's worth noting that this would not be paid for through special assessments.
I was just going to ask you that.
Would have to pay for this on his own because the land adjacent to it, although he owns both sides of the land that would be flanking the roadway, it's outside city limits, which means the city has no ability to impose special assessments. So if the road's going to go in, the developer is going to pay for it on his own, and that will help service his land that much better.
And this was at the request of the developer?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's interesting.
Well, kind of unique. We don't see it this way all the time. Typically, what we would see is the land would go through the platting process. Mm-hmm. So you'd see a formal subdivision. There would be a zoning change. There would be easements created for water and sewer and roads and streets and all those things. Yeah. But as you mentioned, we're kind of putting the cart before the horse, and not that that's a problem, but
it's just
atypical from our normal process that we generally see.
Yeah, and so once this road is in and the developer has the opportunity to lease the properties out and they're built up, then likely this will be annexed into the city.
Certainly, yeah. In order for them to develop virtually anything there, they would need city services, water, sewer, those types of things.
Okay.
And that won't happen until the annexation is requested. The other stipulation that came along with this is that if the property has not been annexed in 10 years, the developer would then move forward with annexation. So I don't anticipate it would take that amount of time. But it was Gabe Schell, our city engineer, noted that we need to have some sort of a bookend on this because there will be incurred costs through maintenance for the city to do plowing and things like that. But also 10 years is about the lifespan of an asphalt roadway. So if we're going to build a road today and it sits there without development nearby, in 10 years we might have to do some maintenance and reconstruction. And without the ability to do special assessments, we can't really fix the road either. So,
well, it seems like a hot property anyway.
I'd be surprised if it takes 10 years to see something happening in that area.
All right.
So,
sounds good. Well, that was the last item on the agenda pretty much to talk about today. So thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks
for having
me.
I'll see you in a couple weeks.
I will be here.
All right. Thanks, Jason. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit bismarcknd.gov. or call 701-355-1300. If you have suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access, Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.